Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. Amen. So if you guys remember last Wednesday, I was actually preaching on Galatians 4:9, Galatians 5:1 as well. And last week, I was talking about freedom and the idea that even as Christians in a community, we all need freedom in some way. And let me go through a quick recap of what Galatians is, and so I can kind of get onto what Galatians 19 to 23 are. And so if you guys remember, Galatians is a book of freedom, because basically what Paul is doing in this book is he's writing to the churches of Galatia. What has happened is he went through there through one of his first missionary journeys, and he taught the gospel. Many became free. Many of the Gentiles came to believe. But as he left, what happened was many of the Jewish traditions came back in. Basically, he didn't know who it was. You know, it wasn't explicit as to a person or a group of people, but there was people that came back into the churches and started teaching the Jewish laws again. And what happened was that the churches of Galatia became bonded again to believing that it was through the law that they became free. And so Paul is writing this letter to refute that, to refute the Judaizers, to say, hey, that's not what I taught you at all. What I taught you was freedom through Christ and Christ alone. And so that's why last week I was teaching a lot about, in many of us, there is a desire for freedom, right? Freedom for the things of the world, freedom from our loneliness. And the only place that it comes through is Christ. And so when I was going through Galatians again, as I've been really studying into this word, one of the things that's really come to hit me a lot was the idea of the cost of this freedom and what it took for us to be free in terms of God's love. And so as I continue to read through Galatians, coming to the end of chapter 5, and where it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I really started to understand what it was that Paul is trying to say. And so what does it mean for us to be free? What does it mean for us to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit? And so if I was going to give a quick reason why Paul kind of goes with this. So in chapter 5, Paul is basically juxtaposing the difference between living through flesh and living through Spirit. And the reason he's doing this is he's talking about the difference between living in freedom and living not in freedom. And so because he's saying, okay, you used to be of Christ, but now you've been convinced otherwise, you're now back into the elemental things. And so when you're back into the elemental things, you're back into the worldly things, what happens is your flesh takes back over. And what happens? The jealousy, the strife, the enmities, the sorcery, idolatry, the outbursts of anger. So these are the fruit of the flesh when we are no longer free in Christ. And so what the fruit of the Spirit is when we are free in Christ, these are the things we should exemplify. These are the things that should be showing up in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so if we were to look at our Christian lives, if we were to look at ourselves and to kind of make a judgment of where we are in our freedom of Christ, I would say this would be a good way for us to know. Are there the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Do we love? Do we have joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of these things? And so last week I talked about the only way we can be free is through Christ. Well, how can we truly know if we're free? If we're no longer bound by the elemental things which cause us to have the fruit of the flesh. And so when I was kind of going through it, I was like, oh, that's great. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love. And, you know, we've all heard this many times before, but what does it look like? What does it look like to have the fruit of the Spirit? And so when I was going through it, I felt like in my spirit, part of it was there was a desire that I wanted to teach into this fruit. And so let me kind of go through. I'm not going to go through all of them. Actually, the only one I'm going to go through today is love. And I felt like if we want to know what it means to have the fruit of love in our lives, we really need to understand what Paul is talking about in this love. And so there are four types of love in Greek. We know this, right? The first being agape, God's unconditional love, right? There's phileo, which is brotherly love, right? Between brothers and sisters in community. There is storge, which is the love within family, right? For our parents and whatnot. And eros, which is the passionate love, the sexual love. And the love that Paul talks about in the fruit of the Spirit is actually agape. So for us to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, for us to know that we are truly free, it's not in the love of our, I mean, we do love of our brothers and the passion and all these sort of things, but the true evidence of our freedom in Christ lies in our ability for agape. Now, the truth of the matter is, I think for us as people, it's pretty impossible, right? Not saying that we shouldn't try to do it. I mean, all of us, in some way, we should be trying to love as God loves us, right? There should be an agape that we should be doing, unconditional love. But as people, we're flawed. We recognize we're sinful, but it's pretty impossible. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't try. So how can we try to love each other in an unconditional way? Well, we need to understand what God's unconditional love looks like to us, right? And so how does God love us unconditionally? What is his agape love for us? How can we see that freedom in our lives for whatever case may be? Well, this is the first one. God's agape for us first lies in a conscientious choice to love us. And so if you want to know if there's an agape or if there's that true freedom in your heart, is there a conscientious choice? And first I'm going to turn us to God. Is there a conscientious choice for us to first love God? And then is there a conscientious choice for us to love others? Okay? And so how do we know God's love for us is a conscientious choice? Well, I mean, there's two examples I'm just going to give. It's very quick. The first one is through creation, right? God, remember, he didn't need Adam to cultivate the garden. Remember when God created us, he created through 6 days of creation. He didn't even create us first. Through us being in mind, he created all things that we needed. And then finally, he put us into the garden. And so how do we know God made a conscientious choice to love us? One, he didn't need us at all. God didn't need us to tend to a garden. He didn't need us to say to the earth, be created. He didn't need Adam or Eve to be there to cultivate what he's done. It was already finished when God had did it. The only reason why he created us was a conscientious decision to love us and to share his creation with us. And then not only to share his creation with us, he shares it in such a way that it was perfected for us because we were created last in all of his creation. It was a conscious choice. And so if God's love is a conscious choice for us, love is not a feeling, right? I mean, another example I would give is this, right? If love was a feeling and not a conscious choice, God would have left us a long time ago. Look at the entirety of the Old Testament. How many times has the Israelites come to God and fell away from God? Come to God, oh God, we need you, and God shows up, right? The greatest, the Exodus, right? God, we need you. He sends Moses, delivers them from Egypt, and then what is the first thing that they do? Right? God tells them, okay, this is your promised land. No, God, I don't believe you. Right? And then afterwards, God allows a generation to die. He brings them finally into the promised land. What happens? Through 333 years of kings, right? They fall away from God over and over again. With every God, right? You go through the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. With every king, you know, they kind of, with some kings, they turn back. Some kings, they don't even try to turn back. And so if God's agape, if God's love for us was not a choice of unconditional love and it was a feeling, God would have turned away from us a long time ago. And so what does this mean for us as a church, as a people of God? It means for us, our love for God, first of all, needs to be a conscientious choice. It can't be based on a feeling. I mean, obviously when the Spirit comes and hits us, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have feelings. I mean, God created feelings and He has emotions and whatnot. But if everything that we do and our love for God is based on a feeling, our Christian lives are going to be one roller coaster ride of a Christian life, right? Our circumstances are good. God, I love you, right? Our circumstances are bad. God, where are you? Right? And I mean, maybe let the Spirit speak to us, right, in this way. But oftentimes, I think in our Christian walks, we come to these places of plateaus, right? Or we come to these places of where we feel like God is not there or God is no longer loving us. Maybe it's not so much that God isn't there for us, but possibly because that we've chosen to believe that God has left us because of our circumstances. But that is simply not the truth. God has never left us. In fact, His conscious choice to love us demonstrated for us greatly. I mean, the most important one, right? Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was never in any circumstance that God chose to love us. It was simply because of His agape love for us. And so how do we know that we are free and walking in truth and in the fruit of the Spirit? When we're able to love God in the same conscientious way that He chooses to love us. Now, I'm not trying to bring some yoke onto us either, right? And to say, oh, if we're unable to do this, we're bad Christians and whatnot. But at some point in our Christian walk, there should be a maturity that chooses to love regardless of what happens in our Christian life, right? Have you been praying for marriage and you're still single? Are you pouting about it? Are you taking a? I had a friend of mine that used to. I remember early in their walk, right? I'm taking a strike from God right now. Don't even ask me to come to church. I'm taking a strike, right? I'm not even coming to house church or fellowship, right? That's not maturity in love of God, right? And if the person is listening, I'm not going to say who you are. But the truth is, right, there is not a maturity. And the maturity of Christ's love comes in our conscious choice to love God. And I mean, I know Pinay talked about, you know, the beauty of singleness and we shouldn't, you know, it's not the answer and whatnot. But because I know we are a church of many singles and many of us looking to get married, let me put it to you this way. You want to make sure you have a good marriage? Practice the conscious choice of love now. Because the truth is, when you're in a marriage, you need to make a conscious choice of love. That is what the marriage covenant is. You know, when we say I do, when we're saying I do, we're not saying, you know, I make a choice to feel like I love a person. We're making a conscious choice to say through thick or thin, through difficulty or through goodness, through hardship, through having a lot or through having a little, I choose to love my wife or my husband. And so if you want to have a good practice of what marriage looks like already, make a conscious choice to love. Not just because things are going well or things are going badly, but because you've made a commitment to God to love Him and a commitment to His church to love the church. And so that is the first fruit of the Spirit, right? Loving and a conscious choice. How else does God choose to love us, right? God's love for us is sacrificial, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become righteous in Him. Love, God's love for us in many ways, right, is sacrificial. And maybe the better way for me to put it is, I don't want to use the word sacrifice, but it's not self-serving. Do you want to know when you're able to walk in your freedom of Christ? Is when we're able to love through, not necessarily through loving ourselves, but through serving others through sacrificial love. And I mean, let me give you a very personal example, right? And I know I gave Steph and I a lot, but it's very true, right? There's no marriage that's perfect. And I mean, I'm going to be very honest with you, right? You look at any marriage, there's no marriage that is perfect. And when anyone gets married, when two people of different backgrounds, of different beliefs and values come together, there's bound to be times when you struggle. There's going to be bound of times when you get into fights. And I mean, it's the truth with Steph and I too. There are times when, I mean, even when we think about, you know, how to deal with Lauren sometimes, or you know, sometimes when we're both tired. I mean, sometimes when we're both tired. I mean, Steph is pretty good at it. She's even though she's tired, she makes much better conscious choices to love than I do. The greatest example is when Lauren right now is going through a sleep regression, and we're both dying. She's waking up like four or five times, six times a night. And basically when she cries, we have a choice, right? We have to get up, and obviously we're not going to, we try not to co-sleep with her. But there are times when I know Steph is so dead tired. She is so dead tired. How do I know this? It's because we're having dinner together, and she's basically like just falling asleep. Like she's falling asleep. And when Lauren wakes up at night, you know, I usually generally am the one to wake up first. I hear it and I wake up. And so I wake up. And you know what Steph does? Every time, and she's generally pretty good at it. Sometimes she'll be like, hey, Ricky, can you go? But most of the time she'll just like, hey, Ricky, you have VMP. Just stay sleeping. Let me go and I'll deal with Lauren. I feel so loved. Because for me, in my head, I'm like, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to serve her. But you know, she does such a good job of just being, hey, Ricky, I know, you know, but let me go. I know Lauren's not necessarily going to fall asleep with you anyway, so let me go. And so even in her deathness of tiredness, she chooses to love me every single time. And so for me, that is my greatest example for you of what sacrificial love looks like. I know she's tired. I know she needs sleep. She started school again too. She could also stay asleep, but she says, no, Ricky, you go back to, you need to preach tomorrow, you know, all these sort of things. You need to wake up early. Let me go and take care of Lauren, right? And so that is my example of what God's sacrificial love for me. I mean, it's true, Jesus died for me, but sometimes we also need that sort of real sacrificial love in our lives to kind of see that, right? So let me ask us all a question, right? God's sacrificial love is clearly in our lives. Now, do we also love God sacrificially as well, right? And again, I don't want to use the word sacrificially, but are we self-serving in our love for God? Or are we God-serving in our love for God? And I'm going to give just something really quick, right? What is your attitude when it comes to serving God? Is it because you can get something out of it? Is it because, you know, it gets you closer to, I mean, I'm going to serve because there's a special speaker coming, and if I serve, I know I get special time with this special speaker, right? Or is it, I got to serve so that I can take this check mark off the box and I can grow in this way, and, right? We should never serve God simply because of a self-serving attitude, right? Like, we should never do it because it gets us somewhere. We love God because he loved us. That's it. Our love for God should simply be from a God-serving attitude. And so the second way you want to know if you're living in your freedom with God, right, through this agape love, is how are you loving, right? Is it through selfishness, or is it because you are representing the Christ-like love, right? Next thing, and this is a bit of a tangent for me, and I'll try to make it quick, but God's love is relational, and let me kind of go off on a bit here, right? God, when he sent Jesus to die, he sent his spirit to be with us, right? And that's why we know him as God Emmanuel, right? God is with us. But remember what it took for his spirit to come. Remember what it took for God to be with us and for him, or for us to be with him, rather, is it took a death of a son, of his son, of a beloved son. It took a death of someone. Like, as a parent, it would be pretty difficult for me to give up Lauren, right? When we make a conscious choice not to be relational with God, basically what we're doing is we're cheapening the death of Christ, right? It took the death of God of a son for us to be with him. And so I don't want to go off on this, right? But One of the ways we know that we're living in our freedom is making the choice to be relational with God, right? Spending time with Him, being with Him daily, right? And I know I've already gone over time, right? But one last thing, right, is God's love for us and the agape is eternal, okay? What does it mean to be eternal? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever loves Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's love for us, His agape for us, causes eternal impact. Eternal impact as to what happens to our life and where we go. And so, for us to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit of love, our love for others and for God should also have an eternal impact. Our service should have an eternal impact. The way we treat others should have an eternal impact. No, that doesn't mean we need to always have to make conversions of people or whatnot, but at least in some way to represent Christ so that they can see the love of God, so that they are also one step closer on the way to knowing God, if they don't know God, but if they do, to bring them closer to who God is. And so let's close our eyes and ask Jeff to come up. We love because He first loved us. God's love for us is unconditional, agape. And you know, one of my favorite verses is Romans 8:38-39. Right? For I'm convinced, whether life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the things present nor the things to come, neither powers, neither height nor depth, nor any creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love for us is eternal and can never be taken away. However, we can walk away from that love. We can choose to accept a love that is not of God when we choose to go our own way. And so this morning, as we worship God, let's really come back into God's love. Maybe you're in a place where you need a touch of God. Let's worship Him. I believe God is faithful to His word, and He's going to come. And this message is not to put a yoke of slavery or whatnot onto us, but as a reminder that God's love is a requirement for us. And so let's worship Him. Let's really come back into His presence. Let's really ask God to reveal Himself to us.
Stars in their place, and Lord,
Let's continue to ask God to help us to experience His love so that we can make a conscious choice to love Him back. Let's continue to pray. Turn our attention to our community focus. And so we pray for those in our community battling with cancer and suffering from cancer-related issues. Let's really ask God's healing over them. Let's claim His word over him and also for His peace and joy and His love to really come and over them. Pray for those in our community in need of salvation and also in need of healing. Let's really pray for God's Spirit to come and to really speak to them and to soften their hearts and to also bring His healing over them as well. Let's really pray. Pray for those in our community in need of healing for non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray for God's providence over them. Let's really pray for help both in physical healing and covering over their families as well. Let's pray. Pray for those in our community in need of jobs right now. Let's really pray for God's favor and anointing over them. Let's pray that as they go through interviews and whatnot, that His favor will be upon them. Let's also pray for His providence over them as well, as many of our friends have been out of work for a little while. So let's really pray that God protects them and helps them. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Let's really ask God to cover Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe as they're up there. Let's really pray for growth and God's Spirit to continue to bring newcomers to the church. Let's pray for Jesse, who's back in China now. Let's really pray for covering over her. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches in China. Let's really pray for God to do amazing work. Let's lift up the board as well. Let's pray for P-Sam, Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Monica. Let's really pray for recovering over them and over their families. Let's pray for wisdom as they continue to lead the church into its direction and what God has called us to. So let's really pray. Let's lift them up. Lift up our hospitality ministries as well. Let's really pray for the leaders. Pray for Bonnie, myself. Let's pray for those who serve. Let's really pray for God's refreshing to come over them. And also pray for people to continue to come and welcome the church as well. Let's pray. Pray for the men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for Yama and Yamama. Let's pray for Tyler and Amanda and Pastor Kenny. Let's really pray for just these groups and that God will do an amazing work in these groups, that men and women of God will rise up from them. Let's really pray for God's covering over their time together and for His Spirit to really be with them. Also lift up the Myanmar missions team who are currently there right now. An update is they arrived safely, but they're still trying to figure out what to do as there's still the flooding and the aftermath going on. So let's really pray for God's protection over them. Let's pray that He'll guide them into where they need to go. And also pray just for fruitfulness wherever it is they will be. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, God. We thank you, God, that it's unconditional, Lord, and that you don't choose not to love us, God, because of our waywardness, God. But, Father, Lord, you choose to love us, God, from now until eternity. And so we thank you, Lord, for your Son, God, who came and died for us, Lord, so that we could have relationship with you. And so, Father, help us, God, to continue to realize your love in our lives. God, not because of our circumstances, Lord, or the things that are going on, Lord, around us, God, but to continue to choose to believe, Lord, that you love us and that you are faithful simply because you are who you say you are. And from there, God, let us be free, Lord, to love you back, to love those in our community. So God, Lord, I thank you for my friends, Lord. I pray for your blessing over them. I ask, God, will you bless the works of their hands, Lord? Will you cover them and their families and the workplaces, God, and allow them, God, to be the letters of love, Lord, that you've called them all to be. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We give you all that we have, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy your time of prayer. We'll see you guys back tomorrow.